had a great moment going into hour number two. Albie hits me with O'Reilly live read, rock it open. I said, yeah, dude, I heard you the first time. His response was, dude, I knew I did it. And then he tried to punt it off on Chalk. I even asked Tom. Yeah, the same guy that you told to wear a costume to work. That's the best. All right, then. We go into hour number two. That first hour was good. Nice job, clones. And, hey, listen, this is the way it's always going to be. When you're not getting it done, I got to hold you accountable. When you do get it done, I'm the first one to give you a pat on the back and say, nice job. Way to go. This is what I'm saying. You made it better. When you make it worse, I'm always going to tell you that. When you make it better, I will always tell you that. You made it better in hour number one. I like the reaction. I like what you're bringing to it. So we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. So you have an opportunity to do it again. See, now you're living my life. You had a good first hour. Now I'm asking you to do it again in hour number two. This is the way it goes. And I've done this now for decades, no matter how good or bad the show is. In fact, why don't we just say, if I have a really good show, great. You can't coast or live off of that. You got to do it again the next day, then the next day, then the next day. Same thing with you clones. But I'm asking you to be where your feet are and do it 1 hour at a time. You had a good hour number one. Give me a good hour number two. Pete Thamel is coming up at 40 past. In fact, we'll go back to back. I generally do not like to do that on the program. Truth be told, I like to kind of let it breathe. I don't like to go back to back interviews. Sometimes it is not avoidable. So what that means to you is you want to get in before we go back to back, because then that's blocked out for the better part of a half hour. Pete Thamel at 10:40, Ryan Howard at 11. 1-800-636-8686. And I'm looking for your reaction too. All right, so why don't we talk World Series baseball? Again, not a good thing for baseball that I'm talking about a regular season NBA game. Not even a regular season NBA game, but an NBA game 5 games in instead of a World Series 2 games in. That's not good. There's literally nothing
not good
that should be happening in the NBA 5 games in that would trump the World Series 2 games in. But it did. But better late than never. So if you've been calling the Houston Astros the Houston Asterisks and hoping that they would get swept out of the World Series, unfortunately, I've got bad news, because that's not going to happen. Not after last night. You know, like if you suddenly decided that the Atlanta Braves were your favorite team because you hate those cheaters from Houston so much. Again, last night was a bad night for you. Or even if you're neutral, like even if you don't care, and all you wanted was a good, exciting, compelling baseball game. Last night, also not your night. Because as bad as Houston looked in game one, they looked good in game two. And they came out mashing, starting with Jose Altuve, who was pretty much terrible in game one, but led off last night with a double, moved to third a batter later, then came home on a sac fly. So what I'm saying is, after eating punches from Atlanta in game one, Houston landed the first blow last night. Then they kept right on giving them the hands, even after the Braves tied it in the top of the second. So still way too early in the series to make any kind of serious declaration, but if Houston wins the series, it's going to be because of what they did in the bottom of the second. Atlanta had just tied it up. The ATL was doing what they do, just being relentless. And remember, Houston had to have that game. You can't lose two and then need to win 4 out of 5 going back to their place. So that's why that was so key, that inning. Houston bounces back. They had 2 runners on. Then Jose Siri comes up.
Outfield deep and shaded the other way. Freeman holding on Gurriel at first. Pitch on the way. And that's a ground ball weakly hit. Goes past Freed. Albies will pick it up. Throw to first. Not in time. Tucker scores. Astros lead 2-1.
2-1 Houston. And then Atlanta went all Little League with it on the next batter.
Runners lead off first and second. The 1-1 to Maldonado. And that's a ground ball through the left side, a base hit on his way to third. Gurriel, he's around third and coming home. The throw goes toward third. As Siri gets there, the ball gets away. Gurriel scores, Siri coming home, and he will score as well. Maldonado goes to second, and the Astros lead 4-1.
Hey, listen, there's nobody hotter in baseball right now than Eddie Rosario. But even Eddie Rosario cannot throw a guy out when there's nobody there to catch the throw. Eddie's good, but Eddie is not good enough to throw and catch the ball himself. I'm not sure what was supposed to happen on that play. I just know that that's not it. I've never actually physically seen a Tom Emanski video other than all those commercials back in the day. But I'm pretty sure Tom is not telling his guys to throw to a base when there's nobody wearing a glove within 20 feet of that base. So that error was followed by a wild pitch. And then the meltdown was officially on. When the inning was over, Houston was up 5-1, and then that game was over. I mean, sure, there was 6.5 more innings still to be played, but none of that mattered. I mean, I rarely see that kind of crap in my son's high school games, much less in a World Series game. And I hope that none of the fam or nabes are watching. My son's baseball team, high school baseball team, not exactly a national powerhouse. Although they are getting better. But I don't even see that crap at those games. I don't even see that crap at university high school games in Irvine. But I saw it last night in the World Series. So Atlanta manages to push one across in the fifth. Houston adds one in the sixth. And then another in the seventh on Jose Altuve's home run. But if you had turned the TV off after the second, you would have been fine. And isn't that the problem? That's the problem, right? It was already the series that pretty much nobody wanted to begin with. Again, not me, but pretty much everybody else wanted nothing to do with this series. So, if you can somehow at least get the people to peek it, just take a look at it. The last thing you want to do is confirm what they thought they already knew. Yep, that's what I thought. Sucks. Just no sucks. Need to spend any time here. Now, let's be real about this series. Two games in, the worst thing about the World Series is actually the best thing, or at least the most interesting thing. A dude who busted his leg and didn't make it out of the third inning of the first game is the best thing about the World Series so far, or at least the most compelling thing, or at least the most exciting thing, or at least the most interesting thing. Man, that's not good. We're going to point to some dude breaking his leg as the high point of a series, that's a problem. So what I'm saying is, for a series involving two teams that people love to hate, or at least ignore, they're making it pretty easy to hate or ignore the World Series. Like last night, per usual, if they didn't pay me. Last night's game was more than 3 hours long, and it felt like six. Game one was more than 4 hours long. And aside from Charlie Morton shattering his leg and continuing to pitch, that was pretty much a complete waste of time, too. Max Fried got knocked around for the second straight start, and now that series is tied. Houston's bats are awake, and Atlanta's looking at one and maybe two bullpen games back home. You know, it's bad. It's so bad. You know it's a bad night when your ace gives up six runs, and the best that you can say about him was that he stopped the bullpen from getting overworked. What kind of a take is that? I'm not saying that Atlanta's going to miss Charlie Morton very much, but the fact is, his roster replacement watched Game 1 from a courtyard by Marriott eating takeout salad from the Cheesecake Factory. All right, clones, this is where you can get involved. This is where you live. This is what you do. Now you can pick up the take. Now it's no longer about baseball, right? Now it's about Tucker Davidson watching Game 1 from the lobby of a courtyard in Georgia, a courtyard Marriott, after hitting the Cheesecake Factory, and then he got the call at 1 a.m. that the team needed him. He gets the call. He puts down the fork. He hops the first flight to Houston. He was actually in the bullpen for game two. I'm not sure what I respect more, the fact that he was ready on a moment's notice or the fact that he went with a salad from the Cheesecake Factory. I mean, nothing but respect for both those things. I don't know what he brings to the team in terms of his arm, but this dude's got some crazy discipline. A salad from the Cheesecake Factory. Dude, that is some mental toughness right there. You want to talk about wearing a toughness groove in your brain. This dude took one look at that war and peace length menu and decided on salad. My man turns through all those pages of food. It's like the yellow pages of food. And not just food. Open up that menu. What do you see? You see page after page after page of food and every kind of food. But not only food, ads. Ads in the menu. Ads for plastic surgery, cruise lines, perfume, the factory itself. My man is able to get through all that and go right to salad. He skipped right over the buffalo blasts, the glam burgers, no French dip cheeseburger, passed on the factory burrito grande, the factory famous meatloaf, the factory chicken Bellagio, the factory barbecue chicken pizza, probably some factory Chateaubriand. Man's dude didn't even fool himself with something from the Skinny-licious menu. He didn't even try to be sensible with something like the cauliflower tacos. My man went right to the lettuce, right to the salad. Man, that is a badass move there. That's a power move. I don't know how good this dude is when it comes to control around the plate, but I admire his control of his plate. Hell! Stay ready so you don't have to get ready, I guess. And Atlanta better hope he's ready because that bullpen is taxed. They're going to need some guys to eat innings and eat them well. Better turn this thing over to the dude who ordered a salad from the Cheesecake Factory. I don't know. Maybe it gets better. Maybe it gets better when the series goes back to Atlanta because it can't get any worse. Hey, Tuck. I mean, for real, dude? Are you for real? You got a salad at the Cheesecake Factory. It better have been the Cobb salad.
For real.
Because there's bacon for months. And there's more cheese on that Cobb salad than there is on a Papa John's pizza.
Allegedly.
I don't know. Maybe my man thought it through. Maybe my man did the math. Maybe my man had a plan. Maybe he's thinking to himself, you know what? I'm going to go salad. Because you know what I'm going to do after that? I'm going to go salad so I have the right to murder a slice or four of the Oreo Dream Extreme Cheesecake.
Mmm.
Carrot cake cheesecake. Hot fudge sundae cheesecake. Dolce de leche. Banana split cheesecake. Creme brulee cheesecake. The hell happened to just cheesecake? Key lime pie cheesecake. Triple layer chocolate cake cheesecake. Prime rib cheesecake. The hell happened to cheesecake, man? The only thing more psycho than ordering a salad at Cheesecake Factory is ordering a slice of plain original cheesecake. That makes you a real dumbass. Imagine, what are you talking about, Rome? Hit that with a little strawberry. Why don't you just kind of wade through the yellow pages of menu that they have there. Wade through all those ads, the optical ads, the plastic surgeon ads. Hey, Shepherd, my man. Or Tucker, my man, you didn't want the shepherd's pie cheesecake? You didn't want the pad thai cheesecake? You didn't want the crispy crab with cream cheese wonton cheesecake? Yo, brah, you think you're better than the baked rigatoni cheesecake? What's up, bro? You took one look at that New York steak cheesecake and didn't want any of that? I don't know about you, Tucker. You do you. Me, I'm going to go fried mac and cheese cheesecake. I don't know, man. I haven't hit the Cheesecake Factory lately, but I can tell you something right now. If I did, I'd go directly to the fish and chips cheesecake. That menu is something. Like, what plastic surgeon says, all right, we got a budget. Where are we going to advertise? Where are we going to advertise? Radio, TV, online, the Cheesecake Factory menu. That's where we're going to put our money. You know, like when you go to restaurants and you see like their industrial size kitchen supplies. I would love to see the refrigerator back there, man. That refrigerator's got to be bigger than the restaurant itself. That refrigerator has to be bigger than every mall that that restaurant's in. That refrigerator's got to be bigger than the city of Irvine. I will have your chicken pot sticker cheesecake. You know what I got a craving for today? I've been craving this all day long. The fire roasted artichoke cheesecake. Have you ever had their southern fried chicken slider cheesecake? No, wait. Excuse me, waitress. Can I get the fried calamari cheesecake? You know what we should do? We should get a Tex-Mex egg roll cheesecake for the table. I don't know, man. Don't act like I'm out of line here. It's that menu's insane. It really is. Like, if you ever think to yourself, I don't know, do I want Thai food? Do I want Mexican food? Do I want Italian food? Do I want Chinese food? Do I want Japanese food? Do I want sushi? Do I have a sweet tooth? The answer is yes. You can get it all in one place. It's incredible. And I'm not talking about a buffet. I'm talking about you can get an entree for all those things. Oh, and a bar. Okay. Are you hungry now?
A car.
A bar, not a car. And a bar.
A car.
When we... What did I tell you, clones? I said that I would get off of the baseball and get to something you liked better. Can I tell you, the Cheesecake Factory is so much more interesting than the World Series? Sorry, MLB. The Cheesecake Factory's menu is way more interesting than anything happening between the lines right now. It just is. It's me dropping a tongue on the mic. O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life is left in your battery? The professional parts people at O'Reilly will test your battery for free. If it does need to be replaced, they will help you find the right one to fit your car. This month at O'Reilly, it is Superstar Battery Month. You can get up to a $25 gift card after mail-in rebate with the purchase of your Superstar battery. It's built to handle even the toughest conditions. You can return power, performance, and reliability to your car, your truck, your motorcycle, and more with Superstar batteries available only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, they offer, again, convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They will even bring it out to you curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to O'ReillyAuto.com, O'ReillyAuto.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Oh, man. Welcome back. Having some fun. Pete Thamel is going to join me next segment. And we were wide open to the bottom. Somebody just called up Chalk and said, hey, man, why isn't Jim talking about Russ? Why isn't Jim talking about Russell Westbrook and his act? And Shaq said, dude, top of the show, man. Opening segment of the show. And the guy's like, oh! And then Shaq told him how to find it. Oh, no, we hit on the Lakers. Trust me. You think I'm not going to start today's show with the Lakers? Oh, no, we hit on that. And I've reset that. And there's more to it. Like, there's this thing about, yeah, well, LeBron didn't play. Of course LeBron did not play. LeBron didn't play the last two games. How can you expect that guy to play? You know that whole thing about how LeBron spends $1 million a year on his body? And the reason he can play at such a high level at this age with all those miles is because he takes such good care of his body. Of course. Of course. I understand that. Respect. But I don't care if he spent $10 million. Not one. Not two. $10 million annually on his body. He was not coming back from that coffin job from the guy who did Netflix's most popular TV show of all time. Squid Game. Yeah, just like you really believe that Squid Game ended poorly. That was a really bad decision because the creator of Squid Game went in. He didn't say this, but the fact of the matter is, when you say the end of Squid Game kind of sucked, the entire world, Bron, is saying the end of Space Jam 2 sucked. The middle of Space Jam 2 sucked. The beginning of Space Jam 2 sucked. Space Jam 2 sucks. That's what the world is saying to you. So when you come at this guy, and I'm not even like, I don't even care about Squid Game. I'm going to be honest. I've never seen it. I know. Sacrilege. I'm the only one, apparently. Because the numbers are off the charts. I haven't. Just because I haven't seen it doesn't mean I won't see it. I haven't gotten to it yet. I'm one of those guys who's like one show at a time, if that. Anyway, people love this show. And people watch this show. And apparently Bron was one of those guys. He just didn't like the way it ended and said so. So the creator of Squid Game had a little something for Bron. And that little something was, hey man, like, I appreciate you watching the show. That's cool and all. But have you seen Space Jam 2? He said that. Have you seen Space Jam 2? You're dead. It's again, that's like somebody trying to criticize LeBron for basketball. Bad idea. If you have your name and face on Space Jam 2, you best not ever criticize anybody else's content. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. Chris in Milwaukee tweets, Jimmy, we are extremely happy to see the Astros get a win and tie the series up. Regards, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Rafael Palmeiro.
Period.
It almost doesn't matter what the Astros do. They can win one, they can win two, they can win five in a row. There are a lot of people that will always see them as cheaters. This guy just said it. We're extremely happy to see the Astros get a win and tie the series up. Regards, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Rafael Palmeiro. Ken in SA. Hey, Rome. Totally reasonable to go to a Cheesecake Factory for a salad. Signed, dudes who get Playboy for the articles. Wooden Laconic wants in. Tucker Davidson, ordering a salad from the Cheesecake Factory. That's more mental toughness than I've ever shown. Signed, Rome, skipping over the salmon and always going for the cheeseburger on his NFL and CBS road trips. All right, first of all, yes, true. Number two, it's no longer even a conversation. It used to be a conversation. And by the way, it was not even a conversation. It was a lie. I was straight up BSing myself and saying, hey, well, you know, maybe I'll get the salmon. In fact, I'll probably get the salmon. No, I wasn't. I was never going to get the salmon. I convinced myself I was. Hey, let me ask you something, clones. And I mean this, not rhetorically, like an actual question. Have I posted a pic of that cheeseburger yet? Because I have one on my phone. Have I done that? Have I storied that yet? If I showed you this cheeseburger, check that. Bacon cheeseburger, check that. Bacon cheeseburger on a brioche bun. You wouldn't be talking any crap to me. You'd understand. You know where I'm at. Let's see here. Squirrel 2. Why go with a salad from the Cheesecake Factory when you can drop $5,000 on lemon drop shots at the Cheesecake Factory bar? Yours, Vince Young. Yeah, I know that's a true story. And I know it's a true story that VY once got... He bought every ticket on like a Southwest flight. Listen, in defense of VY, I always like Vince Young. I still like Vince Young. In defense of VY, I've bought some pretty stupid things too. I've bought some really dumb things. I've invested in some really dumb things. I've invested in the most speculative things in the history of the world. Thoroughbred horses, nightclubs, restaurants, Bitcoin. I got you, VY. And when you're young, you think the party's never going to end. H.O.F. Spillane. Jim, you're so right about the Cheesecake Factory menu. Picking up that sucker tore my shoulder for the 9th time. Signed, J.J. Watt, season ending again. You know, that is 4 times in the last 6 seasons that Watt's season has ended. He's suffered a season-ending injury. Thing is, and I want to get into this when I talk about the game itself. He was playing at a high level. That one sack does not begin to do justice to how disruptive he was being. He was playing at a high level again, but he got hurt again. So when Arizona brought him in and threw money at it, they gambled. They took a shot. But then again, man, that's what they do. My man Steve Keim, this is why I love Keim. Man, he is not afraid. He takes some big, big shots. Big shots. Some pay off, some don't. That one, unfortunately for them, did not pay off. The good news is Chandler Jones is back after missing the last couple of weeks. Brian asks, Jim, is Ritz mouth salivating when you were naming off all those cheesecakes?
Dolby.
Ritz said, he just told me, and I quote, love cheesecake. Of course you do, Ritz. It has sugar. Lots of it. Quote, I love cheesecake. I know, Ritz. If you are what you eat, then Ritz is a pork wonton cheesecake. All right, when we come back. I've got Pete Thamel coming up next. Having some fun, mixing in some actual sports, having some more fun. Mixing in a sports update. Here that is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Coming up, I'm going to throw it back at the top of the hour. I mentioned that we're going to go like all J-R-I-B with it. The 2006 National League MVP. I said 06. Ryan Howard is going to join me. That's coming up at the top of the hour. But before I get there, I've got this. He is a national college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports. Co-host of the College Football Inquirer. He, of course, is Pete Thamel. Pete, good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, I'm great. How are you today?
Good, Pete. Good. Great to visit with you. And, you know, there are so many really interesting things going on and really unusual things going on. Like, I could even start a conversation. You and I have never done this. I could literally start this conversation by talking Wake Forest football, but I'm not going to, although I could. I want to jump right to the coaching carousel. You've been all over this topic. Let me ask you, Pete, about James Franklin. His name has come up in connection to USC and LSU. He's had back-to-back losses. He had that really weird presser where he kept confusing Penn State with Illinois, or his opponent, I should say. What's your sense as to how things are going for him right now and where his head's at?
Well, I think James is picking a bad year to have a bad year. I'm not optimistic for Penn State's chances at Ohio State on Saturday night. Now, look, Penn State, if there's one hallmark and consistency of James Franklin's time there, is that they have played the Buckeyes tough. It's just hard to envision that offense, even with a healthy Sean Clifford, really, you know, digging in and finding itself and being able to score with Ohio State. Penn State's got a great defense. They have a very good secondary. But it's just, it's very hard for me to envision a path to victory and a path to keeping it close for Penn State on Saturday night, which means James Franklin will be the, you know, on a three-game losing streak a year after he went 4-5. And it's, if he did desire to leave State College, and he's been fairly vague in his comments when asked, this would certainly not aid that campaign to do so.
We're talking to Pete Thamel. That's interesting, right? So do you think, how interested do you think that he would be in either USC or LSU? And then to your point, Pete, things are not going very well for him right now. How interested then are they in him?
Well, look, if you look at James Franklin's body of work, especially at Vanderbilt and for much of his time at Penn State, it would be naive and short-sighted to be a prisoner of the moment and take these current events and let them overshadow what he's done. I mean, if you, on a pure accomplishment level, James Franklin is exponentially more accomplished than Mel Tucker, whose name has gotten buzzy at LSU, something I'm very skeptical of in the big picture. There is a distinguished body of work for James Franklin coaching at two places in the early part of his Penn State tenure. You can't forget they were still cleaning up from the NCAA sanctions and the horrible stigma that came along with the awful Jerry Sandusky scandal. And so it was a bad roster and it was a bad stigma on that program. And he did great work building it back to being, you know, competitive. And they've won the Big Ten since he's been there. And, he's been more consistent than Jim Harbaugh for sure. He's been there a little less time at Michigan, but I think a lot of James Franklin as a coach, and I'm certainly not going to just, you know, live in this, you know, what could be a three-game losing streak and think he's not a viable candidate anywhere else or washed up, but we do live we are prisoners of the now a lot in college athletics. It'd also be naive to say this hasn't hurt him as those schools are analyzing.
We are talking to Pete Thamel. All right, Pete, so what about, like, when you evaluate those two jobs, USC and LSU, which would you say is more appealing? Or maybe, Pete, are we talking apples to oranges, and is it just a matter of preference depending on the coach?
Well, they're very different jobs. If you just ask me which one is a better job, and it's a great talk radio debate, you could go on with it for a while. I'm going to say LSU is a better job. The last three LSU coaches have won national titles. One of those is Nick Saban, who's obviously the greatest coach of this time. And then the other two are Les Miles and Ed Orgeron, who, quite frankly, aren't that well-respected, certainly as tacticians, and, you know, have some flaws as head coaches. History will say that their championship teams were much more due to the LSU job and the talent it can attract than their actual talents as coaches. So if the last three LSU coaches were able to win titles, you know, it does say something about the caliber of the job, the passion of that fan base, and just the attraction to play in Tiger Stadium for local recruits. And you know, depending on what per capita metric you use, there are more players per capita in Louisiana pretty much than anywhere else in the country. So that said, is it an easier path if you get USC rolling to make the college football playoff? Sure. But you also have to remember, USC hasn't made the college football playoff. And I think we're going into year what? It started in 15. So we're going about year 7 of this thing. So these recruits don't actually know USC as a vibrant and relevant program. They know it as something that looks cool on YouTube, and you know, you see highlights of Reggie Bush flipping into the end zone. But those aren't current events for current recruits right now. So the turn there is bigger and deeper. I do credit the new administration at USC and the previous two administrations at USC were two of the worst administrators, Pat Hayden and Lynn Swann, that have ever been hired in my time covering college football. They were just abject disasters. And USC has spent a lot of time having to dig out of that. They've had to build infrastructure. They not only were behind on the field, but they were behind in building and growing their program with all the modern accoutrements you need to build a successful, viable program. So the new administration under Mike Bone has certainly done a nice job helping them catch up. But to say they're there is naive because the results aren't there.
It's such a strong comment what you just said, Pete, that in all of your years of covering college football, those are two of the worst administrators ever hired. And it's so fair in what you just said. That's accurate. That's true. Now, in terms of you covering college football for a long time, let me ask you this. This is the time of year where college coaches are constantly ducking questions about whether or not they're interested or not in a different job. That said, have you ever seen anything quite like the way Mike Tomlin addressed a question about the USC job? Have you ever seen anything like that before?
That I thought was telling, and I thought my old buddy Mike Rosenberg at SI.com did a great column where he thought people kind of missed a little bit of the point of the genesis of where Tomlin's anger came from when he asked if Andy Reid was getting asked about college jobs or other coaches like that. And so, yeah, that was clearly meant more to Mike Tomlin, if you really dial in and read into his comments, than just being asked about another job. He has, arguably the best job in professional sports, like he said. And look, I just give him credit for being raw and being honest. I thought it was a powerful and compelling window into his mindset.
Hmm. Pete Thamel is joining us. So, Pete, the Texas Tech job is open right now, despite the fact that they're 5-3 this year. First of all, I went there a couple of years back, and I sat with Chris Beard on his fireside chat, and I sat next to Matt Wells. I mean, Lubbock's interesting. I like Lubbock. I like Lubbock. I think it's a very interesting place. What do you make of that move and their decision on a 5-3 team, first of all?
Yeah, it's a weird era we're in right now, Jim, where we're seeing coaches getting fired because they might win. I mean, Oklahoma isn't very good. Texas Tech could beat them this week. Like, that is just conceivable with the way Oklahoma's played. Oklahoma hasn't blown anybody out, at least FBS teams. They have one, I guess, convincing FBS win. But and I really think that move was made just in case Matt Wells may have won. And I think Matt Wells had a decent body of work there. He was just never embraced there. And if you sat next to him and got to know him, like, Matt Wells is a heck of a guy.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
Yeah. Like, did you, I mean, you were impressed when you were with him, Jim?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Pete. I was going to say, I was jumping in to agree with you. Yes. Yes. Like, you sit with him, he's got great energy, super upbeat, super positive. He's got a really good way about him. Yeah. Very, very likable guy and a guy that you would think would be a good motivator and you'd want to play for.
Yeah. And it just, he was just never liked there, never embraced there. He had to make drastic staff changes just to kind of hang on last year. And, at the end of the day, shame on them. If you don't want the guy, just fire him after last season, right? Like, why, if you're going to fire him mid-season or this, why play the charade out anymore? It's just where we are right now and in college football. And, I feel bad for Matt, who did a good job there. I mean, they're going to go to a bowl game. Like, that's pretty darn good for Texas Tech. You think back to Mississippi State firing Joe Moorhead after back-to-back bowl seasons at Mississippi State. It's a tough business. These guys are paid a lot of money. Nobody's gonna play their violin for them all day. But whew, man, it is. It is a cutthroat billion-dollar industry, and I think we've got five or six jobs open right now. It's indicative of it. October fires used to be rare. Now we're getting them Labor Day.
Right. It's crazy. Pete Thamel joining us. All right, Pete, one last thought. You mentioned Jim Harbaugh and the fact that, like, James Franklin's body of work is better. Harbaugh's having a good year this year. But the rap, of course, has been that he does not win important games. So as good as they've been this year, how important is this game against Michigan State for Jim Harbaugh?
Well, I think just the way they've started, the way they've played, and the fact that competency has returned to their defense has helped Jim Harbaugh from the big picture. I don't think if he loses this game, his job's in danger, anything crazy like that. But I believe he is 2-12 against top 10 teams. And most of those are Ohio State, right? I think he's 0-6 against them. So it is another interesting test for Jim Harbaugh in big games. And for as well as Michigan has played and as good as their defense has played, their offense is still generally untested. And this is a test. Now, they gutted out that win at Nebraska. And all credit to them at night in a rabid environment to going on the road in winning. And this is going to be a new level of defensive interference on the other side. And quite frankly, that stadium is going to be lubed up and ready to go on Saturday afternoon. So it's going to be fun. I have a hard time imagining that game not being close, Jim. I just don't think either team has like a distinct advantage on either side of the ball where I can see, you know, I don't think Kenneth Walker is going to run for 290 yards, right? And Michigan certainly has been one-dimensional statistically on offense. So I can't imagine there, you know, basically both defenses are going to be teed up to stop the run. And it'd be interesting to see who can, who can move the ball through the air and eke out a game. But I expect that to be low scoring, hard hitting, and a lot of fun to watch.
I think you're right, Pete. That's going to be a fist fight. That is going to be a close game. He is a national college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports. He is co-host of the College Football Inquirer. He is Pete Thamel. Pete, great job. I appreciate you. And it's always good to have you on the show. Thanks so much for doing that.
Hey, Jim, thanks for having me. Appreciate it, man.
Great talking to you, Pete. Well done. Always is chock full of good information. I'm looking at a line right here. You got Michigan State plus 4. Do you like that number? Hey, listen, if you like Michigan State, there's some good value there. Michigan's playing well. To Pete's point, they look really good defensively, but offensively, not as much. That's going to be a tight game. Some good matchups this weekend. All right, so looking ahead to our third and final hour, like I said, I'm going to throw it back. The big dude, Ryan Howard, is going to join me next segment. Used to do him quite a bit back in the day. He is the 06 National League MVP. Then after the program, I'm going to tape a podcast. We are a day off on that. Sage Rosenfels is going to be my guest on episode 195. He had a really interesting NFL career, actually. And not only that, remember, Viking fans know this. He backed up the old gunslinger in 09. So we'll get into that. We'll talk about his career, and he is working with a lot of young quarterbacks, and the quarterbacks around the NFL right now, especially the young ones, are fascinating. Sage Rosenfels will be my guest later today on the Jim Rome Podcast. I'm going to take a break. Third hour is coming up next. Do not go anywhere.